Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And would you stand for the reading of the Word? Go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. I know so many of you have been in camp all week, and you've heard such outstanding preaching and teaching from our general superintendent and Brother Jason Sisko. And I'm coming with something that's very simple, but something that I definitely prayed about. I want you to know that I never stand behind this pulpit what I haven't given a lot of thought to what I'm going to preach or teach or minister. This is very, very serious business to me, because we get one opportunity in life to make it right. But one is enough. But you have to try. You have to pursue. And statistics prove that one out of one dies. So this is very, very serious business to me. I go to part of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus talks about the kingdom law of riches. You have to understand that riches can be very deceitful. Jesus talked about the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. I think sometimes God forces us into situations in which we sacrifice just so that we can reestablish our priorities. Maybe the loss of job that you have presently experienced is not so bad after all. I mean, if it works toward an eternal purpose. Because there's something about a good paycheck, easy living, that causes us to rearrange our priorities. So Jesus said in verse 19 of Matthew 6, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." It's just a simple little truth. But the truth of the matter is, it is much more difficult to keep your eyes on the Lord when you're being blessed than what you might imagine. God bless you. You may be seated. And certainly, this is not an indictment against people who have been good stewards and have been blessed of the Lord, because He wants to bless you. He wants to pour out an abundant blessing upon you. The Bible says that he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. But he is that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So God wants you to reap great benefits, but he also wants you to give. In other words, sow seed. But Jesus says in verse 21, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I was reading in a magazine, I guess a couple of years ago or so, I'm not for sure just when, but we're talking about how the mind works. They were stating that very few people who book flights for vacations call those flights off, that usually they take that vacation. And sometimes they don't feel so well, but they go anyway because they've been looking forward to it. Very few men who set as a goal to go to out of state, maybe fishing or hunting. Very few of those people ever call it off, simply because they've got their heart in it. And you know, the book of Proverbs says the spirit of a man will sustain him in his infirmity. This seems like that when you really set your mind to do something, you say, I'm going sick or well, that somehow you just determine you're going to do it, and you just do it. Now, that's not to say that some people don't get sick and call off vacations. On the other hand, there are some people that live only for the weekends and vacationing time, and if it rains on the weekend, then it just kind of spoils their whole week because they've looked forward to it so much. And in America, especially here in America, where we have so much stuff, S-T-U-F-F, stuff. Can you say that? Stuff. And so much stuff. I would say that most of you have enough stuff that if you wanted to play for the weekend, that you have enough stuff that you could just play for the weekend. Whether it be fishing rods, fishing boats, golf clubs, whatever. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong, that you have that much stuff, but I'm simply saying is that if in the event you have been blessed where you could just go a number of different ways with your stuff and play all weekend, that you have to be careful because you can get your priorities rearranged to the point that you become frustrated. The moment that you replace your stuff, I say you replace God with your stuff, trust me, something spiritually is going to happen within you, and you're going to become very, very dissatisfied. There are people that become unhappy with their church, blaming the church, when really it's just all this stuff that's killing. And all this stuff causes us to be non-productive in his kingdom. Now, I believe that Richard actually was right when he wrote about the four functions of life. He talked about work and play. He talked about worship and rest. And there's nothing wrong with a good vacation. There's nothing wrong with play, but you can't play all the time. See? He talked about worship. Worship is so, so important. Jesus gave a parable in Matthew 13, verse 22. He talked about the seed that fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and the vines, and they entangled the delicate plant, and they choked it out. And he says, the thorns, the vines, are the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. Now, the cares of this life, it simply means things that you need to care about. But you get your priorities wrong. You care too much. Or you spend too much time caring for the things that you should care about. You know, you can do that with your family. Where after a while, that God is pushed over in a corner someplace. If you have given your heart to God ever, you have and have been born again, baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, there's one thing that you must remember that Jesus Christ will not allow you to ignore him and you remain satisfied, fulfilled, and happy. Won't work. It won't work. And most of us are chasing something. Let me just ask you this question, you know, what are you chasing? Usually it's something. Some people, it's a job, it's a career, it's a new home, it's a vacation, it's a cruise. All of these are okay if you don't start spending too much time and you substitute it for true worship and your relationship with God. And too much stuff causes us to refocus, turning away from God. It was said of the Israelites that came out of Egypt that there was a group of those people that began to gaze. In other words, they looked to the right and the left, and they saw these big cities that they were passing and everything, and they were gazing. They saw the big tribes and how they were being blessed. They thought, oh my, why can't we be like these people? All of this will cause spiritual oppression, cause you to get in a spiritual rut, and you don't feel productive. Now, if that's where you are, maybe I can help you. At least I certainly hope that I can. We go to Genesis 32, verse 22 through 28. It's a story of Jacob as he goes to meet his brother Esau. As you no doubt have heard the story about the brothers, how that Jacob deceived his brother, received his father's blessing, and was driven out of his home to a foreign country, back where his roots were, where his father's roots were. Time had come in which he needed to go back and make things right with his brother. I don't know if you've ever felt a prompting from God to make things right with someone. And sometimes it's not so difficult, but sometimes circumstances stack up to where it's very difficult, especially when you have to go say, you know what, I did wrong. You ever had to confess to a lie? I think that's probably the hardest thing, just say, you know, I just lied. Well, the word Jacob or the name Jacob means supplanter or deceiver. He has to go back. Have you ever had an appointment in which you hated to make? Maybe you became delinquent on a note or something and the bank has called you. Once you come in, I want to talk to you about this. Well, you just drag your feet, you know, you just hate to. You ever been audited by the IRS? You're supposed to go in and take all your receipts. And it's never happened to me. But I have certainly spent my time praying with people that it's happened to. And it could happen to me this any time, you know. Most people don't go in when they're being audited by the IRS, popping bubbles and lighthearted. And here Jacob is, he's going to meet Esau. What in the world is he going to do? He doesn't know what his brother's going to do. His brother may kill him. There's no idea, but he knows that he has to go make this right. So in verse 22, the Bible says he rose up that night, took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent them over that he had, and Jacob was left alone. Now there's something I want to stress to you here. There are times in which, you know, you may surround yourself with with company. You know the old statement, misery loves company. You want somebody to pat you on the shoulder, pat you on the back, and say it's, you know, God knows, God understands, it's not as bad as you think. But there's a time in which you got to say, okay, you got to stay on the other side of the brook. You got to stay on the other side of the fence. I've got to be alone with God. The Bible says then, and when he saw that he prevailed not, well, let's go to verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with a man with him until the breaking of the day. This was an angel of God. When he saw that he had prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. I don't know if we have any Jewish people here, but the Jewish people, when they process their beef, animal life, there's one part of it that they do not eat, and that is the hollow of the thigh. And it goes back to this story. And Jacob, from that day on, he limped. He was touched in the hollow of his thigh, and he walked different. You know, wrestling with an angel of God will cause you to walk differently. So he was alone. Now the Bible says, and he said, let me go. That's the angel. For the day breaketh, and he says, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. He said unto him, what is thy name? He said, Jacob. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, supplanter, but Israel. For as a prince have thy power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. He had a name change. Don't want you to be associated with supplanter anymore. You're going to be a prince with God. Now this story tells me that if you really want, you know, if you don't feel productive in the kingdom of God, if you feel distracted, if you feel that there's something not quite right, you need to get alone. And you need to stay there until God touches you and changes you. You know, that's what happened to Hannah, the mother of Samuel. She could not have children, and she stayed at the altar and prayed until she just could not even speak. And if for some reason you feel that maybe the devil's been on your trail, been chasing you, you can't shake it, or whatever the situation is, you just don't feel that you're as productive as you used to be. And I realize that when you look back at your past, that things sometimes always seem better than what they really were. You know, when I was growing up, my high school seemed so big, and my junior high school seemed so big. And now when I go back and look at it, it's just, I think, now, why did I think that I went to a big high school? Brother Dave Shroud and I were building a fence down at my place. And I said, now, Dave, one of these years, we're going to look back at this fence. And it was like, I don't know how far it was across, about 1,320 feet, I think it was, across, basically across 40 acres. But, you know, you can look back when you get old and you think that fence was a half mile long. You sit around and talk about how long it was. I'd go back to the field where I used to chop cotton, and it seemed like the rows were a mile long. So I realize that sometimes things were not quite as rosy as what you're what you might imagine. But on the other hand, I know that many of you wish that you could just revisit some of those moments that you had in the Spirit when you first prayed through. And you remember how close you were with God, how precious He was, and how innocent you were. Just, if I could go back. Well, I got news for you. You can't. You might have to take a half a day off of work, or maybe a Saturday morning, and just say, I'm going to spend all Saturday morning in the presence of God. What's wrong with that? You know, that's how the day of Pentecost came about. Now, of course, it was more than a Saturday morning a tarrying service, but it came about as a result that they were there. They just said, we're going to pray until we receive power from on high. And if one half of a day would correct the dilemma that you're in, that is not feeling, you feel frustrated because you're not doing what you need to do for God. And right now you're feeling maybe it's your spouse's fault, or it's some other brother's fault, or it's your pastor's fault. When really it's just you got your priorities all goofed up. And you've been pursuing a career and pursuing this and that, and now you're surrounded with all of the multiple blessings of the Lord. Did you know that when Israel crossed Jordan, God told Joshua that you will conquer the land inch by inch, lest you become spoiled. In other words, I'm going to give it to you, and this is how you, and don't give up on it now. Don't give up on the plan, but we're not going to give it all to you at one time, because you're going to get spoiled. Of course, they gave up prior to getting spoiled, all of which they shouldn't have done. You know, and I like to think that when we come to church, you know, we have three services a week, that is English service and two bilingual services. And I like for these worship services to be a Pentecost atmosphere. When I say Pentecost, just like we saw on the day of Pentecost, where people can come in and in a moment's time they can drop all the stuff that's been plaguing them, all the riches and things. You know, I remember down south, you know, one old gentleman said, you know, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. He put his little addendum on the end of it. He was just as poor as poor could be. He said, especially if you ain't got none. He'd been picked up for robbing a store. So, in a moment's time, you can come in the house of God and just lay all that stuff down and lift your hands and be in the presence of God. You know, take advantage of the worship services. Three times a week, you can be in a mini Pentecost atmosphere. This week up at camp, all week long, you were up there in a Pentecost atmosphere. You know, there is a principle found in the kingdom of God, Matthew 11, verse 12. It says, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Isn't that what Jacob did? When Jacob knew that he had a need, and he was so dreading to meet Esau, and he knew that he did Esau wrong, and he knew that he owed him an apology, And he just couldn't make himself do this, and he just decided he's going to take his wives with him. And then all of a sudden he said, no, I can't do that. I got to leave them. And he walked on, and he went alone. And there in the presence of the Lord came down and in angelic form and wrestled with him. He was pursuing the kingdom of heaven. I mean, he was chasing it. He wanted it. He needed it. Isn't that what Hannah did when Hannah went to the altar and prayed until she couldn't even talk? You think about how productive you are in the kingdom of God, and think about some of the frustrations that come your way. Could it be that a lot of this frustration simply coming because that you haven't spent the time that you need to spend in pursuing the kingdom of God? Jesus said, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. In other words, what are we going to eat and what are we going to wear? And young men are concerned about their height and how tall they can be and such. He said, after all these things do the Gentiles seek, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. I've always felt, if you want to become genuinely frustrated, if you want to become anxious, all you have to do is just reverse what Jesus Christ said and start seeking after things. Now, I just, quite often I'm tempted to change my idea about this. But every time I am tempted to do it, I know what the Bible says. I guess I know too much about the Bible. But we needed a new worship center. And I thought, man, it'd be great if we just all go on a week's fast and start seeking God. But listen, Jesus knows we have need of this. I tell people it's okay to pray about it. But just pray about it and drop it. Don't be seeking God for it. Let's seek God for souls. Let's seek God for ministry. Let's seek God for a great moving of the Holy Ghost. You know? That's what we need to seek God for. Because we've become totally frustrated. You ever decided you want to trade cars and you couldn't make up your mind? You know how much time that takes to spend. Now, what if you did that on a daily basis for about a month? It'd take all the energy out of you, wouldn't it? So there's a point in which you need to spend time doing it, but then you do it, get it over with, drop it, and move on. Jesus talked about the man that found the field, Matthew 13, verse 44. He found a hidden treasure in the field. And what did he do? He took and hid the treasure, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and he buyeth that field. The hidden treasure in the field is truth. And when you found truth, you traded everything that you had for truth. Now, are you willing to give everything you have away in order to keep truth? You may say, do I have to do that? You've got to be willing to do it. You have to stay unattached. See? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Set you free. Shall make you free. Unless a man forsaketh all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Is it in some relationship? Sometimes dating couples, they change their priorities and they become very frustrated because they spend all of their time just thinking about each other. Now, I got to tell you, I don't know how in the world that you can get married without spending a lot of time thinking about the person you're going to marry. But I'm talking about the expense of just dropping all ministry. I've known couples do that. I've known of other couples that dated. They enjoyed their relationship. They teamed up together and did the work of the Lord. And how great that relationship was. How great it was. Jesus said, "He that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled." The psalmist says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so my heart panteth after thee, O Lord." I got to tell you, I was hunting one time. I used to deer hunt quite a bit when my boys were younger, and now they've gotten where climbing up and down the hills is hard on them too. So I don't hunt much anymore, but I used to like to deer hunt. Every year I would bag a deer. So I'm up at Black Earth, and the hills are just like, oh, man. Roy's in-laws, Lois's mom and dad, and I was sitting out on a rock on a ledge, and all of a sudden I had a doe permit. I heard this doe. I did not know it was a doe at the time. I heard this deer coming through. And I stopped, and she came within probably 20 feet of me. Evidently, she picked up my scent, and she stopped. But the poor girl had been running so that she was just panting. And, of course, it's a cool November day, and you could see frost coming out her nostrils and her mouth. And I looked at her and looked at her and I looked at her and I looked at her and I thought, now, any deer that wants to get away so bad, that would run for miles till she had no more strength, she was just standing there trembling. I just watched her a little bit and picked up a little stick and threw over there and ran her off. I said, "Hon, you can go." And that's what the psalmist was talking about, though. He's not talking about running from someone, but he's talking about a deer that needed water. Oh, need water. Need water. So she goes to a water hole, and it's all dried up. And she goes to the next water hole, it's all dried up. Now, it's getting serious. It's quite a ways over to the next one. Before she gets there, she's dragging. She's panting. She wants water. And David said, "My soul thirsteth after thee, O Lord." Need God. I need God. I need God. I need God. I need God. Now, I know what you ask yourself sometimes, because I've asked myself this. Does God really care about me? Does he really know that I exist? Oh, yes. But, you know, maybe he's working out something in my life. Maybe he wants me to surrender something. You know, we always say, "Not my will, O Lord, but thine be done. Not my will, O Lord, but thine be done." We don't always mean it, but we say it that way. It sounds great, doesn't it? Makes a nice song. Jeremiah 17:7. Jeremiah said, "Blessed is the man whose hope is the Lord." Whose hope the Lord is. Every now and then it comes up on my computer. It says that I need to click on the refresh button. I use the word button. There ain't no button there. And, you know, I'm not I'm pretty much computer illiterate. I know how to turn it on. I know how to get to my email. I know how to delete email. But every now and then I look on something that says, click on the refresh. Wow. I like the word refresh, don't you? Now you think about it. There's an incentive when you see that. Oh, because you've just been struggling. Everything's coming up wrong. Click on the refresh. You know, this is what Peter said in Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Let's talk about this half day, whatever it takes. You know, if you take off a half day on Saturday, you want to spend it at home, fine. If you want to come into church, come in here. You spend it in the presence of the Lord. I mean, that seems like a pretty good answer to me if you can get rid of frustrations. If you can leave with your priorities right, if you can leave knowing that you're going to be productive, and you can leave refreshed. You might have to pray through. You know, when I first came in the church, the old timers were always saying, boy, he had a breakthrough today. Every now and then, Brother Leonardson would sing the song of the Lord of the Breakthrough. I like that. What are we talking about when we talk about breakthrough? It's just like you go up against a wall, you know. And, you know, little Ava got a little comedy video about Tweety Bird, Sylvester. She always wants me to watch Tweety Bird and Sylvester. I've seen Sylvester run through a brick wall several times. Not voluntarily, though. I mean, something backfired on him. Just ran right through it. Of course, on the other side, you know, it's amazing. You know, he falls down. He's got Band-Aids on. I don't know how the Band-Aids came out, but he's got hair off of his back and his tail and his stomach and everything, and he stands up. And then all of a sudden, it's like he hits the refresh button. He's got hair back and no Band-Aids back, you know. But, you know, you think about it. Have you ever felt like you were up against that brick wall? Like, I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough. Well, I got good news for you. You can have that breakthrough. But you see, you've got to focus on where your treasure is. See? And what Jesus said, your treasure is in heaven. Your treasure is in God. Your treasure is in eternal things. It is a known fact that the problem with many revival churches, I'm talking about churches just like ours that experience great revival and after a while it's gone, that in time, without them making a conscious decision, what they did, they traded the invisible for the visible. After a while, it's about, look how big we are. Look at our great edifice. Look at how much money we're giving. And they traded all of that for the relationship with their God. Nothing, absolutely nothing is worth you losing your soul over. Oh, I'd like for you to stand. I'd like for our praise singers to come. So if you're frustrated, the answer is turn away from your current treasure. Turn back to God. Violently seek the kingdom of God like Hannah did. Like they did on the day of Pentecost. Like Jacob did. like you did when you were first saved, because you had to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do you know something? You need God just as much right this day as you did when you were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. First Timothy 1, verse 1. Look at this. Oh, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Jesus Christ is my hope. He's my treasure. He's the hidden treasure of the field. He's the pearl of great price. Oh, God, yes. Isn't it wonderful to know Him in the power of His Spirit? Lift your hands. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.